This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a podcast from Joy's jazz show, Bent Notes. Tune in live each Sunday night at joy.org.au.
My special guest tonight is a man who plays piano, composes music, he plays a bit of trumpet too, and he arranges music, leads his own big band, and has done since the age of 12, as well as a trio, and he is an in-demand musical director around Melbourne. His love for big band music has exposed him to the music of the late Sammy Nestico, American big band composer and arranger who passed away a week ago on January 17. It is my pleasure to bid a very warm welcome back to Bent Notes, Jack Earl. Welcome.
G'day, David. How are you?
I am extremely well, Jack. I'm playing lots of big band music tonight here on Bent Notes, including many Sammy Nestico compositions or arrangements. I've discovered that he joined the Oliver High School Beginner Orchestra back in 1937 as a trombone player.
Yeah, he's a trombonist.
Then 2 years later, at the age of 15, he wrote his first arrangement. And then when he left school, he joined the American ABC radio station WCAE in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, as a trombone player, of course. It seems that he was destined from the very early days to be in the industry, and it seems to me that you have followed a similar musical path.
Well, maybe, you know, that might bode well for my future. Who knows? If Sammy Nestico did it, then I can do it, hey?
I reckon so. I reckon so indeed. Because you started out at 12, didn't you, with your own big band?
Yeah, my very first big band gig was when I was 12 years old. And I'd been playing trumpet in swing bands since I was about 9 or 10 years old. Yeah, and then I thought it was really normal at 12 years old. Like, isn't this what everyone does? I just put big bands together.
Well, I think it's a great idea. Indeed.
Well, it worked out pretty well, I think.
It has indeed. Now, Sammy's career saw him arranging music for the US Air Force for 13 years, from 1950 to 63. And he also led the Glenn Miller Army Air Corps Dance Band. And I think that's a big step to be leading a band with the name of Glenn Miller in the front of it.
Sure thing.
And he became a director and arranger of the US Marine Band as well. From 1968, he worked with the Count Basie Orchestra, and he composed and he arranged and conducted for the last 10 albums by Count Basie. He earned a number of Grammy Awards there, and that in itself, I think, tells us something about his music. What is it about his music, Jack? What is the special something about it that actually grabs your attention?
There is definitely magical fairy dust involved. It's the swing, and he's so happy. He's a happy, happy guy. You see interviews with him and he's smiling and laughing and he just is so passionate and loving towards people and music. And I think Count Basie definitely had that philosophy to be loving and passionate and happy. And you can hear that in the charts and in the writing. They're so jolly and jumpy and electric and exciting.
How does he build that into a chart? You're a composer and an arranger yourself. How do you build into a chart that sense of brightness and chirpiness and happiness that's bigger and more happier than others?
I think it's part of your outlook on life. Like, I think you have to be if you're in a happy mood and you can tap into that emotion in yourself, then you can write it in the page. But you have to. It has to be a wholly believed and a wholly. Invest yourself in completely in the emotion that you are composing, I think. And I think Sammy would have been, not that I ever met the bloke, but I think it seems like someone who would have invested himself quite as a whole into his work.
Where did you first hear of Sammy Nestico?
I was playing in a local swing orchestra from about the age of 9 or 10, and it was through that swing orchestra where they ran a big band festival and I started my own big band. So it was thanks to them, really. You can blame them. but they, Mordialloc Jazz Orchestra, they used to play all sorts of wonderful arrangements by all sorts of wonderful arrangers. But this guy kept coming across the stand, this name, and that was Sammy Nestico. And I seemed to enjoy those ones more than others. And they seemed to swing harder than the others. And I just seemed to have the best time whenever we got a Sammy Nestico chart out. I was really excited whenever that happened, and that was kind of the first time.
Was it something to do with the ease of playing it, that it just swung in the right spot and it was easier to play, or was it the rhythms that he chose to do it, or was it a complex music?
It wasn't unachievable. It's not hard. It's fairly simple in its construction. But what is so wonderfully complex about Sammy Nestico's writing in particular is, I mean, with other arrangers, you can sit on the lead trumpet chair and have the melody and that plays itself fine. But then you can sit in the third or fourth trumpet chair and it can kind of jump around all over the place, filling in the gaps where the other notes of harmony are needed. Whereas Sammy Nestico was able to write beautiful melodic harmony lines, even in the third or fourth saxophone. And that's what makes it, I think, such a pleasure to play, is when you are, you know, 64th trombone and you're still having a wonderful, wonderful melodic musical experience.
64th trombone. I've never heard of that.
Imagine if that actually happened.
that would be a very big band.
I don't know whether I'd love it or hate it. I'd probably hate it. I don't know.
It would be interesting to hear the chord created from 64 trombones.
There'd be a lot of notes.
Almost as bad as 76 trombones in the
big
parade.
Yes, I was about this. I'm glad you went there.
Yeah.
You are listening to a podcast from Bent Notes. Find more podcasts and show blogs at joy.org.au.
Is there any particular piece of Sammy's that you recall, or was it just a case that he wrote so many and he arranged so much that it's just the entire collection?
To an extent, it is the entire collection. There's rarely a bad Nestico chart. There were three kind of charts that stood out to me. He did a beautiful arrangement of the spiritual tune Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, and it just blew me away the first time I heard it. It was like a trumpet solo with a beautiful choral kind of accompaniment at first, and then it kind of kicked into a swing, and it was the coolest thing I'd ever heard at the time. And then one of my all-time favorite old school tunes was Sweet Georgia Brown, and he did a swing and arrangement of that for Basie in London in the late 60s. But my favorite all-time Sammy Nestico composition, which might bring us very neatly over to our gig tomorrow night, but we're going to be playing it there, is Hay Burner, which was recorded on his first album with Count Basie, Basie Straight Ahead, in 68. And it just swings so hard. It makes me so happy every time I hear it.
It is a wonderful piece, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of those ones that will never get old for me, I think.
Well, because you've requested it, Jack, I'm going to play that as soon as we finish chatting tonight.
Oh, good on you.
In just a very short sentence, how would you sum up Sammy Nestico's contribution to the world of jazz?
It's so hard to put into such few words for someone who is such a giant of the industry, but I think love and happiness and generosity of spirit and a love of music and swing and is that good? That felt deep to me. That was lovely.
That is a lovely way to sum up the work of Sammy Nestico in our world, who, as I said, passed away just a week ago with a great loss to the world. Not that he's been doing any composing or arranging for a number of years, but it's always sad when one of the greats leaves us.
It's easy to forget that they are just, you know, at the end of the day, he was a very old man. And it's you think that they're kind of demigods or something and that they're going to live on forever. And in a way, they will through the music. You just think it's still a shock to the system when they go. It's a very devastating thing.
It is indeed. Now, Jack, it has been a very quiet year that's just gone past us, 2020. Certainly quiet from a performance perspective for anyone in the arts industry. How is the new year, 2021, shaping up?
Surprisingly good. It's very, very exciting. There's little, you know, talks on the grapevine of things that might be happening, provided we don't get another outbreak. And it's nice that, you know, it's all going to be quite local because we can't really travel anywhere for work. So there's lots of homegrown talent being able to be supported as much as possible. And We are slowly starting to maybe get some audiences back, which is such an honor and such a privilege. And I mean, the thing I missed the most from 2020 was just playing with other people. It was all very well to kind of have a lot of time to practice and think and spend time on your art and your craft, but you know, I do love collaboration, and it was something I missed the most, I think. So I'm thrilled to be able to be doing that again.
And that's what music is all about. It is that collaboration. And you have the big band out and about tomorrow night, Monday, January 25, at Fed Square, that place with the new logo now. How good do you and the band feel knowing that this is a real live face-to-face gig with no issues of people forgetting to unmute themselves or turn their video cameras on or off?
There's a sense of bubbling excitement for sure. The fact that we might actually get to play for real people, and you know, the challenges of the outdoor gig are very present, but that's okay. We're very excited to be playing for actual human people and feeding off that electric vibe that the audience provides at a live performance.
Now, you'll be on stage from 6:30 to about 8:30, so a couple of sets, I assume.
Yeah, two 45-minute sets, and we have the wonderful Shannon Wick from Fulton Street going to be singing some soul tunes with us, so you can get your boogie on if you want.
Oh, fantastic. So what can we expect to hear apart from a bit of boogie there and some Hayburner?
Some Hayburner from Sammy Nestico, absolutely. We're going to get some soul tunes from Shannon Wick, and we're going to be doing some original compositions. We're doing one that's actually going to be a world premiere performance. We're actually doing the rehearsal tonight, so we'll see how that goes.
What can we expect to hear in terms of the Jack Earl Big Band moving forward? Are we going to see you around town a bit in the next couple of months?
Well, funnily enough, we are going into the studio at the end of February to record a full big band album with the fabulous Rhonda Birchmore to be a Christmas album at the end of this year, to be released at the end of this year. So we're going to be hard at work, which is quite rare and quite fun as well.
And that will be amazing. I look forward to being able to have a chat to you in, what, November this year? And
yeah, something like that. Yeah,
something to air. That'll be amazing.
Oh, it's set to be like a wonderful project with so many people on board doing it for the love, which is not to, you know, we are paying them, but
oh, that's good.
But you know, the fact that they love it as well just makes it such a pleasure to work with, you know, people who love what they do. We have the wonderful Ross Cockle engineering and mixing and mastering the album, and 18 of the finest musicians that I know, and it's going to be a ball, I think.
Oh, you'll have great fun. And you had great fun before Christmas with a Christmas show too.
We sure did. Stunnington Council were very generous in offering us a position to play for their Christmas carols, which it was going to be a big event in the park, of course, and unfortunately, due to COVID, had to become a live-streamed event with no audience. But there was still a vibe. It was a different. It was a strange. It's a strange thing when you play, you know, the loudest, biggest chord that's ever been played, and then there's dead silence after it and no cheer. But yeah, there was still an electric vibe in the room from people just so excited to be playing with other people and good musicians again. It was a great concert.
Jack, thank you so much for your time on Bent Notes here tonight. I appreciate that. We'll let you get back to that very important rehearsal of the band so that you can be performing and seen and enjoyed by so many people tomorrow night at Fed Square. The Jack Earl Big Band tomorrow night, Monday, January 25, from 6:30 at Fed Square. Thank you so much, Jack.
Thank you so much, Mr. Moyle. We'll see you sometime soon.
Shall do. My guest on Bent Notes has been Melbourne pianist, composer and big band leader, Jack Earl. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
You've been listening to a podcast from Bent Notes. Join us live each Sunday night on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.